Welcome to the Birth Lounge Podcast, an empowering space for expecting and new parents to hear candid conversations with experts, support your mental health, and learn the tips and tricks that thousands of parents have used to craft their ideal birth. We will answer all of your questions, the scary ones and the weird ones, to help calm your fears and feel confident going into your birth. I'm going to help you redefine what birth and motherhood looks like and how to embrace your journey. I've intentionally crafted an amazing list of experts to help you navigate pregnancy, explore your birth options, and plan for postpartum so it can be a time of soaking in your tiny human. We're going to go there on all the hard topics so that you can dive into finding your confidence and freeing yourself from fears around childbirth. With almost 10 years of experience in family education and a master's degree in human development and family studies, I created this podcast as a way to share information so parents can make educated and informed decisions about their care during pregnancy and childbirth. This is a birth community driven by evidence-based information and research in hopes to help you explore your options, understand your rights, and know what choices you have along the way. I'm your host, Hee. Now let's get to the good stuff. Are you looking for a non-judgmental way to prepare for childbirth, something that's evidence-based and is going to teach you all of your options? Talk about your pros and your cons and the risks and the benefits transparently so that you can truly feel informed. Well, I want to tell you about the Birth Lounge. It truly has no agenda other than helping you feel informed, understand your options, and stay in control during labor. It is all data-driven content by reliable research because I know that it's hard to understand your options and what you can and can't say no to in the hospital. I know that hospital policy is really confusing and it changes from hospital to hospital, so understanding your options in each scenario is going to be key to you having a birth that you love and avoiding birth trauma. I want to give you back control, and I'm going to do that in the Birth Lounge. I'm going to teach you all of your options so that you can truly remain in the driver's seat. You can be the decision maker. You can feel confident making your decisions because you know the data and the science. You know what the research says, and you know what the safe options are for you and your baby. Check out thebirthlounge.com to join today. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Birth Lounge Podcast. If baby sleep is on your mind, then you are in the right place because this week on the episode, we're talking all about your newborn's sleep. I know that if you're pregnant and you're expecting a baby, sleep is probably something that you're really fearful around because all we ever see online are babies not sleeping through the night and being up to party all night and taking hours to go down and having witching hours and being up every 90 minutes to 2 hours. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I know that, and a lot of professionals out there know that. But I want to make sure that you know that. And not only do you know that it's possible, but I want to give you steps on how do you actually get better sleep once your baby is here. And so today's podcast, I have the absolute honor of being able to sit down with two of the best and smartest minds in the sleep industry to talk about twin sleep. So all of you mamas of multiples out there, listen up, grab your pen and pencil. In the next episode, I'm going to be talking about singleton sleep, and I'm going to be giving you my best tips to help you get your best sleep throughout the night, starting from day one with your newborn. I want you to be able to truly maximize sleep at night so that your body can rest and be restored. So if you're choosing to feed your baby by nursing or pumping, your body can heal overnight, make breast milk, feel rested and like it's being supported so that your body is working. I also want your baby to be able to get enough sleep at night too, because everything that they're learning and they're taking in during the day is actually like concreted into their brain while they sleep. So sleep is very, very, very important for not only you and obviously your partner, but your baby as well. All right, so twin sleep. I feel like it's so scary. Singleton sleep is kind of scary enough, but then when you think about two, you think about that additional workload and how much more tired twin moms might be. And then what does it mean if your babies are born early? Are we adjusting for their age? How do you get two babies to sleep at once? What if one baby wakes up? Do you put them in the same crib? Are they in different cribs? Do they need different rooms? What are you supposed to do in terms of getting two babies to sleep, helping them maximize that sleep, helping them get good quality sleep, and preventing one from waking up the other? Well, I'm so excited to have Kim West and Natalie Diaz on the show today, but you actually may know them as the Sleep Lady in Twiniversity, which I did meet both of them on Instagram, and I love the power of the internet in that regard. I absolutely love how many really cool professionals I've been able to meet and collaborate with and have discussions with and bring their wisdom to you in this audience, in this community. I really do think that that's one of the most special things about the internet is the way that it has connected a lot of us in ways that we would have not otherwise been connected. So here is your final warning to hit that pause button and fill up your water bottles. Go get more coffee, grab a pen and paper, go to the bathroom because you're going to want to settle in and take notes. This episode is filled with juicy tips to help you get more sleep and more rested nights. All right, without further ado, Kim, Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so absolutely. I'm very excited for this conversation. I think twins are a conversation that a lot of people don't have to have because most people are having singletons, right? And so if you're seeking out this information already, you're kind of like, oh, I'm a little bit alone in this journey. And then an added layer is like, where do I even find like twin information, much less twin sleep information? So I'm super stoked for today's episode. Before we dive into twin sleep specifically, let's start with that dreaded kind of black cloud that hangs over sleep training. A lot of people hear the word sleep training and they associate it with cried out. They associate it with really harsh methods, maybe even toying around with the idea of abandonment. You guys do things totally different. So tell us a little bit about your approach and then what your book is teaching that's different than this quote unquote sleep coaching type of, you know, really harsh approach.
Okay, I'm going to start and then Nat will dive in. So I've been known as the Sleep Lady for 30 years, and I developed the gentler method of sleep training really when I had my first daughter, who's 29 years old, because as a family therapist, I thought there's got to be something else that supports a secure attachment, is more responsive and more developmentally appropriate than cry it out or fervorizing, as they call it in the United States too. And so I developed what later became the Sleep Lady Shuffle. And then sort of fast forward, let's see, my first book was out 20 years now. And I started to get more and more emails and texts and calls from families with little babes, like under 6 months, saying, oh my gosh, we have to let them cry it out. And I've heard 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you know, all these rules. And if we don't, we're going to have like lifelong problems, you know, or whatever the stories or the incredibly stressful myths these parents are hearing. And so last year, my singleton version of the book came out on newborns because I wanted to just like yell from the mountains that you don't have to do that. And mm-hmm. that we really should wait actually until our babes are developmentally able to even do things like close my eyes and move my head over the overwhelming grandma who's in my baby's face, you know, or learn how to get my hands to midline and to suck on them to comfort myself and all kinds of things like that. And so I wanted to, you know, develop gentler approaches that were age appropriate, and also factored in a baby's temperament, because very few things are one size fits all, especially with babies, and especially with babies under 6 months, where they don't even have that little internal clock developed yet. So that's kind of what I want parents to hear is, what are realistic expectations? And there are gentler methods, and there are things that you can do, what I call baby-led sleep shaping, that sets that foundation so that actually, hopefully, you never actually have to sleep coach. And so then when it came time for, you know, talking about twins, I went to my dear friend and expert, Natalie, and said, let's now apply this to twins.
My gosh, I love that. And here we are. Are you guys?
Here we are.
Like, speaking my language when it comes to making sure things are developmentally appropriate, making sure that your baby is ready for that next step in their sleep development, making sure that we're supporting them kind of where they're at, not necessarily maybe where you want them to be. Sometimes that doesn't always line up, and that's okay. All right. So I think the big question that we should start with is, how does twin sleep differ from singleton sleep? It must be different. I know that two babies has got to be different than one baby. In what ways are we going to find these differences?
Well, I'm going to just start by saying there's a heck of a lot of differences.
Yeah.
One of the big reasons why I basically begged Kim to do this is because the whole world talks about singletons. The whole world was made for singletons. We are such a unique community, but we are so tightly knit underground that we have our own conversations within Twiniversity, whether it's in our Facebook groups or just within our monthly meetings, right? So sleep, strollers, and breastfeeding. Boom. I could tell you top three topics that have been coming up easily since 2009 when I founded Twiniversity. It's a no-brainer. And so when I met Kim, I don't know, Kim, 711 years ago, we'll just say that, for lucky 711. When I met Kim, we actually were hired for our opposing sleep views. So Kim had the very gentle method and I was a little bit more hardcore. So I wasn't sure, like I knew that what I was speaking about worked because it's just going to. I mean, you know, the cry it out method eventually will work. It's not great for moms and it was really bad for me. So I personally kind of resorted to cry it out at about 7 months when I had just had enough. And Kim really enlightened me. And so since the time that I've met Kim, we became very, very close friends. We're good family friends. Our families are friends with each other because I've learned that there really is a different way that this can be done and nobody needs to be traumatized like I was traumatized. And so why specifically I think it's so different sleep coaching twinnies is because number one, our babes are often born earlier. And so gestational age has to be taken into consideration. So when you're reading a book that's, you know, for singletons, when it comes to sleep, you can't follow that same schedule because we may have to follow the, you know, an adjusted age versus a gestational age. So that's the first one. The second thing is that I actually know this is fact. I don't know why I'm saying I believe. We are exhausted. We are utterly exhausted. If you think that having twins is like having two babies, it's really not quite the same as having one and then another. It is exponentially more challenging to have twins than to just have a singleton and another singleton. The other reason why I think it's important is because parents usually get the benefit of learning from their mistakes. So if you have your first kid, you learn how to do things, you learn all the things. We don't often get that. We have to do everything. It's like a baptism by fire when it comes to the twin world. And so I just really felt that there wasn't a particular book that spoke to our community as loud as Kim's did, but there had to be some minor modifications, including how many parents are involved in sleep coaching twins? Should you sleep coach in the same room? You know, how different does the process need to be if there's a duo versus a singleton? So yeah, I think that there's a lot of differences, and I'm really hoping that within the first few pages of our book that people are going to see that finally, like finally you're paying attention to me. Thank you so much. So that's what we really wanted to get out of creating a twins book, is we wanted our twin families to know that we see you, we hear you, and we're going to make your life better.
Yeah, twins get ignored so much because, like you said, the world is made for singleton babies, right? Okay, so while we're on the topic of, I guess, understanding your twins, are there tips that twin parents need to know about getting better sleep at night that are going to be different than your singleton babies?
Well, I'll take this one too. And by the way, for the listening world, I want everyone to typically know that Kim doesn't sound like a lounge singer in a Vegas club with her very romantic, hoarse voice. My poor friend is sick. But when it comes, Kim, actually, do you want to take this? And you could do this with your sick voice, because I know that this is something that we've always spoke a lot about of.
No, go ahead. I'll chime in. And okay. I will say one thing about that you said that I disagree with is that crying it out does not always work.
Truth. Yes. I think it only worked because we had no choice. Mm-hmm. So for the record. And also, you know what was really crazy, just to bring this up? It was actually recommended to me by my pediatrician.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, but that's because they don't get any education in medical school to give you any other options. Yeah.
It's actually really shocking that that pediatricians are giving so much advice, not only on sleep, but I'm also a lactation consultant on lactation as well. And I'm like, boo, that's not right. Like, I don't know what happened there, but let's figure out another way to do this. That for a lot of parents worldwide, we're looking to our pediatricians first for answers. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that every pediatrician doesn't have all the answers. But there are some pediatricians who, you know, every nail looks like a hammer. You know, they're going to see one way to do things. So if they've had success with 15 families with Cry It Out, they're going to keep recommending that. And they're not even going to resort to looking at other things because they're too busy researching other medically heavy topics. So sleep also, but like twins, kind of gets lost in the shuffle, which is really sad.
Here I am chiming in on the question is that, you know, one of the big differences, I don't have twins. I have two singletons, but I've definitely helped thousands of twins and triplets and quad families. And the big difference, I think, or one of the big difference is that, you know, just as Natalie has reminded me, just because you have twins doesn't mean that you just have two babies. Mm-hmm. Like, you have two separate people. Mm-hmm. Right, with different personalities, and one could have more medical problems than the other one, and one, you know, and so that has to be factored in to their sleep in addition to, you know, an adjusted age factor.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. And now I forgot your original question because we went off on our tangent. My apologies.
I love tangents. That's where the best education lies, honestly. Okay, so the question was just around what kind of sleep tips are there for twin parents to kind of employ in order to best support their baby sleep development?
Well, something that I think your audience is going to be particularly excited about is that our book doesn't start at day one. Our book actually starts during pregnancy.
Perfect.
So for me as a childbirth educator, I mean, I think you got to begin at the beginning when it comes to as many topics as possible. So when you have time to learn things is when you're sitting there with your double bump and your feet are up on the couch, that's when you have time to read. Usually when parents are sleep deprived, they're just going to go to the page that they think they need, when in all sincerity, the book was written to be read from cover to cover, ideally, and then referenced back when you need to reference back. And Kim and I put so much attention into our indexes of the book because we know that parents are going to use that. They're never going to say like, oh, where do I go for this? They're going to go right to the index and they're going to look for the trouble that they're having and they're going to go there. So in general, I think that the way that people could really do best with their 20s is by preparing correctly. And so I always say, if you start during pregnancy, by at least knowing what your choices are, right? Because Kim and I can't tell you what to do. Our word is not law. That is, we will say that till the cows come home. Everybody is going to have a way that they feel comfortable doing things. We just want people to know that they have choices. And this is one of the choices that they get, is to have a gentle sleep coaching method. And so what our book discusses, it discusses how to kind of set the stage for good sleep during pregnancy. And it has everything to do with creating, you know, a healthy nursery and a safe nursery, but also how to make sure that you are not taken out of the equation. Every sleep book on the market is your babies, your babies, your babies, your babies. And I think this is where you could tell that this book was written by two women, because it is mama and partner centered, right? We're putting you first, because if it's the whole oxygen mask, a way overused analogy, but it is freaking true. If you do not take care of yourself, there is no way that you could take care of these babies. And so we try to remind our mamas and papas throughout the book that it's really important to focus on you. So every single chapter has a self-care component. And that, as far as I know, Kim is the only one who started doing this. And it's so true. It's like, we're paying attention to so many different things, but if you are not capable of digesting information and processing it and then applying it correctly, don't even pick up the book. You have to be healthy enough and have your wherewithal to know exactly what you're doing. And so we really want to make sure that our mamas are centered and are ready for what's about to come, right? Because we could all deal with the hurricane if we know it's on the way. It's when we're in the eye of the storm that we're like, oh crap. And we're trying to, you know, bury ourselves in the tub or whatever it's supposed to do when you have a hurricane. I live in New York City. We don't get many. We got that one big one, but I was still okay in my tiny apartment. But yeah, like you gotta start at the beginning, gather all of your information, gather your resources, and then apply them as you see fit when it's appropriate.
Yeah, I am a big believer that the analogy I use is about airlines and airplanes, because we're big flyers in our family. We love to fly and travel. And I just say the longer the runway, the smoother the landing. If you will go ahead and put down a long runway, a stable runway, go ahead and make it smooth, your landing will be so much better. And the way that you do that in, you know, in terms of baby sleep is preparing prenatally. So what are some things that people need to be thinking about prenatally? Do we want to be, you talked about a safe nursery. So obviously a safe space for baby to sleep. Are you guys proponents of sound machines, swaddles, the same things that we kind of find with singletons? Are we doing it with twins as well?
Yeah, we are. Kim, you want to talk about sound machines and white noise and that stuff? Because, you know, I'm addicted to it still as an adult. So it clearly works.
That's right. I do know that. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and same for, you know, room darkening shades and a safe crib. And I would even say, you know, obviously, besides planning where your 20s are going to sleep, I would even say having a backup plan if things don't go exactly the way you think it's going to go. You know, for instance, if you're like, oh, I'm going to have my 20s sleep in another room, but you're up so many times during the night that you find yourself bringing them back into your room with the pillow top mattress and quilts and all kinds of other things, then I really encourage a backup plan, you know, whether it's like a futon on the floor or some other place that you could go. And so that if you did fall asleep with your baby, it's safe. Because, you know, we don't really know what we're getting into until we're there.
Yeah, the baby's temperament is a lot. Like what you talked about earlier, we can only plan so much because we don't know what your baby's actually going to be like and require once they get here.
Yeah. And also, like, Kim and I are very sensitive to that different cultures do different things for sleep, and that there is no wrong, right? There's only safe and unsafe, basically. So there's no judgment in our book, and it covers so many different things that some of my families found it like they were like, just tell me what to do. We can't tell you what to do. So you might get frustrated, but we can't tell you when to do. We can't tell you when to do it, because just like we were talking about the gestational age, you know, you may call Kim or I or one of the sleep coaches and say, you know, hey, my 20s are 4 months old. What am I going to do tonight? Well, there's so much more to that story. It's like a loaded question. And you're like, how are you supposed to answer that? But of course, people expect you just to answer it. And I always have so much sympathy for, or really empathy when it comes to Kim and the coaches and when people call us with questions like that, because there's, we have to know the backstory, right? So the first question always is, when were they born? What was that like? And then also just going back to twins for a second of why it's different, there's a big emotional component to twins. Since a good amount of twins are still born using reproductive technologies, that it's hard for people to just let them cry it out, let's say, or to even put them down. And so they might be saying, I'm creating bad habits. I'm not putting my newborn in the crib. And Kim and I are like, dude, no one said you couldn't hold your baby. Calm down, relax, take a breath. Let's evaluate what we can do, because we don't want to say, don't hold your baby all day if you've been waiting 15 years for this baby. So it's interesting that even within the realm of sleep coaches, like, this is what I have so much respect for about Kim, is because Kim really looks at the person, not the situation, ever. And it's very hard to get that across with the written word, but she did, and we did. And that, I feel, because I've written a book before, right? I have What to Do When You're Having Two. It was a very different writing process, but writing along with a co-author who's such a good friend, who you have such respect for, and who in general has such respect for women. It really was such, I never even said that to you, Kim, but it's true. Oh, like, it's such an extraordinary experience to know, like, Kim's family and her backstory and her kids and how she raised her kids and how great her kids are, right? Because I always say the proof of a good parent is their kids. When you see them when they get old, right? And you're like, they're little morons. Like, I'll skip. Like, Kim's kids, I could stay in a hotel room equally with Kim's kids as I could stay with her. So that's a testament to, like, her great parenting and her mutual respect for her children. It's really, like, I don't know if that's encouraged people to buy this book, but, like, that's what would make me buy a book. Like, I want to know that you hear me in a book, and I want to know that you see me. And to be able to communicate that, which we did, I feel confident that we did, because that's my goal. Like, every day I get up to make sure that every twin family that comes across Twiniversity's website, our socials, whatever, I want to make sure that they feel seen and that they feel understood. So we were able to do that with the sleep guide, because nobody understands. It is difficult. And yes, like I say, for all my fraternal twinnies, all they have is their birthday in common. You can't expect them to do anything at the same time. The only thing they have in common is their birthday. And so you have to take kind of this multiple approach, meaning that I have to do this twice at the same time, but at the same time, acknowledge that I have two separate little humans that I need to be sensitive to. In addition to me, that's just learning to be a mama. And I have to react to that as well.
Yeah.
We do have, so for the listeners who maybe even already have a newborn or are going to have a baby, you know, two babies in a couple of months, we do have an every month tips and steps that you can do to help build that healthy foundation. Because, you know, I just think it's even helpful for parents to know that when our babies are born, that circadian rhythm that you and I have, right, that is our internal clock, is not developed for them until, you know, it maybe starts around 4 months, but, you know, isn't more solid until 6 months. And so we give you those tips to help be, as I like to call it, your external clock, and how to kind of set them up for success. And of course, ultimately, you up for success too.
Yeah, I love that. Does your book talk about different ways to feed your baby? Because I know that may be a little different whether you are bottle feeding or trying to breastfeed two babies, or you're pumping. Those are all going to be things that kind of impact, I guess, number one, the timing of things, right? Whether you're nursing two babies or you're having to feed two babies bottles and then you pump, like, these are all things that are going to impact those schedules.
Yeah, absolutely. Kim, I'll definitely take this one. So as I think first and foremost, my eyes are twins, right? That's what I see first. But then I'm actually super sensitive to lactation. So in this book, it really does talk about, you know, if you want to pump. So if you're an exclusive pumper, if you're an exclusive to the tap feeder, as I call it, right? And how this all works with sleep coaching. Because just because you want to breastfeed doesn't mean that you can start putting in place good sleep habits.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's, and that's going back to, like, you know, Kim and I saying we want this to be a parent forward book. It's not like, here's the rule, here's what you got to do, open that door, do this. That's not this book. And you may love that book, right? There may be some readers who are like, or some listeners out there and readers of books that are like, no, just tell me what to do, like I said before. But this isn't that. This is very much taking into consideration bottle feeding and breastfeeding and everything under the sun and every combination of it, because not every family, not only does it not every family do the same thing, but not every family does the same thing every day. So you have to see that, because there's some moms that I work with and they are, you know, they want to be to the tap today, but then tomorrow they're going to be out. So they're going to be exclusive pumping. There's no typical way to feed a baby. Right. And I had air quotes, those that can't hear my air quotes. So with that being said, yes, we do cover the entire range of feeding scenarios when it comes to sleep.
Nice. I love that. Okay. I guess one of my last questions is something that we hear from everybody, right? Can I let my twins sleep together? Do we need two cribs? Do we need to purchase two of everything? They came out of the same womb. They miss each other. Our team has heard so many things. So what is the advice? What's the safe sleep practice when it comes to twins and letting them sleep together?
Dump, dump, dump.
This is one of your favorite topics.
Okay. It's really one of my favorite topics. It's the biggest thorn in my side.
Mm.
I had to say the thing that drives me the craziest, it's this topic. So I come from a very old school family. I'm actually raised within my building here of four generations. And things had been done many generations ago that are very different than what is being done today. Now, that's not saying that they were better or we're better or whatever, but there are guidelines that have been put in place by our American Academy of Pediatrics that specifically say that twins should not sleep in the same crib. Okay. Now, I want to just stress that this is where I'm going to get into trouble, and I'm okay with it, and I accept my reality. That is a recommendation. Mm-hmm. That is not a law.
Yep.
And when parents speak to their pediatricians, going back to having that discussion, your pediatrician is going to recommend whatever the American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending. However, there are many parents who feel instinctually that their babies are better together. So Twiniversity is not just a group in the United States. We are actually an international organization. And there are many families in other countries that when we have discussions on our groups that say, yeah, our twins don't sleep together, there's mamas from other countries that think this is absolutely the most absurd thing they've ever heard. Now, what's really interesting to me is that when I started Twiniversity back in 2009, many other countries had, you know, the philosophy of, yes, your twinnies should sleep in the same crib, ideally head to head, so that even if they rolled, they would never be on top of each other. And there were many countries that would actually send their parents home with paperwork that specifically diagrammed how their twinnies should sleep in the same crib. Well, I'm really sad to say that many countries have now followed suit, citing our American Academy of Pediatrics as the reason why twins should not sleep together. Okay. Are you ready for the bombshell?
I just feel like there's not going to be any evidence to back this up. Like, when we look at it, you're going to be like, there's no science. And now all these countries have said, yes, we adopt that.
Well, I would like to say, ding, 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 you are the winner. So when I met Kim, right, this is like really what prompted me to start doing deep dives on sleep. I know that I went on to the American Academy of Pediatrics regulations and I read it from top to bottom. And I also read every reference that they cited. Now, of course, this was like a huge undertaking. It was basically became like a thesis situation, but I wanted to really dig in because, look, as a childbirth educator, right? And as I say that, you know, I hate the word expert. As a very knowledgeable person within the twin world, probably the most knowledgeable within on twin parenting. Not, there's many other types of twin experts, but I got this down on lock, and I do homework like this for funsies. And all of the references that I read, they were not citing twins. They were actually citing siblings. So I messaged them and I messaged the AAP and I was like, hey guys, you know I'm probably wrong, but it seems like the research that you guys did is not based on twins. And I got a wonderful response back from the PR department of the AAP that said, no, you're correct. None of the research is done on twins. It's based on siblings, and it's not safe for siblings to sleep together, and twins are siblings, therefore twins should not sleep together.
And when we say siblings, we're talking about siblings that are different ages. So you're talking about a baby with a big child versus
with a 10-year-old.
Two babies. Yeah.
Correct. So this is something that I will say, like, legally, I don't want to get in trouble. So sure. I will never say that you should go against the AAP, but I will say, talk to your pediatrician, talk about what you instinctually feel, and also see how your babies react. Now, the only reason why I went on a deep dive is because my twins, this is going to sound crazy, I had the benefit of being in the NICU for a month. Mm-hmm. Now, that may sound crazy, because who would say that the NICU is a beneficial experience? But I will, because I watched them put my twinnies together on a regular basis in the same bassinet, and I could watch their monitors, and I could literally, with my own eyes, see their heart rate and their breathing, their respiration rate sink. And so then when I was writing this book with Kim, I went on a deeper dive, and I went in even more. I got my scuba gear. I was ready to go. And I found all these wonderful studies on neonates. Mm. So babies in the NICU, about how it's beneficial that twins stay together. I found some wonderful hardcore evidence. However, the AAP says neonates are not the same.
Wow.
So it makes me cuckoo, because I'm like, dude, Australia, you guys were doing okay. You know, UK, you guys were doing great. Now the UK is like, your twins shouldn't sleep together. The AAP says no. And I'm like, what are we doing here, guys? And who am I really? Like, right? I can't start a revolution. I kind of already did, right? Twiniversity is my secret underground revolution. We like it underground. We don't cause trouble. We're not out there protesting. We have no signs. We keep to ourselves, and we keep this information within our own community. And we're like, hey, listen, if it feels good to you when your twinnies are together, then consider it. Not saying do it, but keep it on the list. Don't, you know, notch it off the list just yet. So for me, when it comes to twins and sleep, it's a very sore spot, because I know that these regulations and these guidelines are basically telling people, don't trust your instincts. And we already have enough of that with Google, right? We already have enough of that. Like, people just, I don't know when everybody just stopped listening to that little voice in the back of their head. I don't know why. I don't know if I'm just lucky, because I did live and do live multi-generationally, and those little voices that are my instincts are literally shouting out at me from, you know, an 85-year-old person in my family that's like, do it, Nat, you'll be all right. You're not the first person to have twins, right? Like, I heard all these things that if I just kept researching it, I probably would not have listened to my gut as much. But I would love if parents would go back to that, and they would just silence everything outside of their own head for a moment and just listen to what their head and heart are telling them. And in all sincerity, that's what our book says. Mm. Like, our book literally talks about how you got to trust your instinct and you got to trust your gut. And if you don't feel right that this isn't the time, just because developmentally somebody may be able to do something doesn't mean you have to do it right now.
Yeah.
You could do things on your schedule. It is okay. They are only going to be babies for a teeny tiny little bit. They're eventually going to be graduating college in a blink of an eye. And nobody could believe it. But I promise you, fast forward your 18 years, you're just going to say, what the hell happened? Wasn't that 15 minutes ago that they were born? And so don't have regrets. Don't follow trends. Don't watch things on social. If your gut is telling you something different, listen to that. Have discussions with people you trust around you. Obviously, trusted professionals.
Do some research.
Yes.
To make an informed choice.
You got to do it, guys. You really have to.
You know, one little bit of hope is I was recently in Ireland this summer at the World Conference on Infant Mental Health. And one of the women there who's has come and spoken to my coaches and I from England and is sort of like a sleep and lactation expert. And she said that what they're now doing in England, which maybe they'll eventually do this with twins, is they're saying back to sleep, sleep in a crib, nothing in the crib. But now they're not saying like this, oh, don't talk to me if you want to co-sleep. Because there is a study that shows over 60% of parents will co-sleep at some point in the first year of life. I don't think it's going to be any different with twins. And so what they're now doing is they're saying to parents, and if you find yourself back, you know, by mistake or out of desperation co-sleeping, here's how to do it safely. You know, and hallelujah, because that I think it's much better to do that than, you know, to kind of pretend it's not happening. And so I'm going to hope that, that that's what will happen with twins sharing a crib one day too.
I love you that you think that. I think that's so sweet of you. I think it's so funny.
Look what's happened only this year, you know, and just, it was from a study that, you know, from a grant. So it's possible. We'll just, you know, keep going. Keep hoping.
I'm with you, girl.
I hope somewhere along the way they can drop that taboo feeling slash language and not include the, and if you find yourself by mistake or, you know, if you accidentally, if you choose to co-sleep,
yes,
it has risk and benefits like every other option. Like, you're allowed to choose this. And I think, Natalie, what you were saying about, you know, the AAP just being recommendations, it's just like what we talk about with ACOG, you guys. ACOG puts out the best practice for everyone in our country, for literally everybody. You get to take that and decide whether it feels good to your family, whether it is matched with your goals, whether it's aligned with the things that you want, the things that you guys kind of hold to a high priority. You're allowed to make choices for your family. I love that about you guys' approach and your book. I think one thing that really stuck with me is you said there's no wrong. There's only safe and unsafe. And so, yeah, I think touching on the fact that you don't have to accidentally be finding yourself co-sleeping. You can truly confidently choose to co-sleep, understand the risk, understand how to avoid those, understand how to safely co-sleep with your baby just as easily as you can. And dig into the research for twins sleeping in the same crib. You know, I find it insane, asinine almost, that the AAP has this recommendation based on research not targeted at what we were looking for, but the research that is targeted at what we're looking for, just because it's not full-term babies, now it's not applicable. That is so backwards, it feels illegal almost. That feels crazy that we would make a recommendation based on absolutely no twin studies, but the twin studies we do have, you know, we won't apply them.
And I think it's crazy that other countries followed suit.
Insane. Because of why? Because we're the US? That's crazy.
I don't get it. It's like saying that we're the best. I would never say that. I don't think anybody's the best. Yeah. I think we're all the best. I think we would just start there. We're all amazing. Hello, of course. And I don't like that it's this whole follow the leader thing. It's like lazy regulations. It's like, why would you do that? And we also offered, like I offered the AAP and I met board members of the AAP and said, I'll help you do the research. Like we reach millions of people a week at Twiniversity. Like we are not short in supply of parents that would be part of a study to make these regulations as appropriate as possible. But yeah, I was just told to leave it be.
Man, that's too bad. That's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. I also think it speaks to maybe the respect and the priority that women and children have in this country currently. So hopefully in you know, upcoming years, we can see all that change. We can see moms and babies become priorities. We can see, you know, like I say, more unbiased regulations and recommendations of here are your options. Here are the risks and benefits of each. what feels best to you. I would love to see the AAP come out with something like that to truly help parents navigate what is best for their family.
Yeah.
But then I'm just going to do a little plug for, and also more research on gentler approaches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is more than there was just in the last few years that's showing it's just as effective and actually less stressful for the parents, but it's still not mainstream. And until we get, you know, a variety of research on, you know, a variety of approaches, we'll always hear the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, let it cry it out. Same thing for everything we just discussed. Don't co-sleep, you know, despite how it can be done safely and happily by parents all over. Yeah.
I think I'm in a much more negative zone. Honestly, I don't expect anybody to take care of us. I really don't. I think the people that are going to take care of us is literally us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I can't depend, like when I'm working with a lactation family, I can't depend on anybody other than what I'm about to teach this person and about what their goals are. And I'm making sure that they feel comfortable with what that is and realistic about it, like realistically, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's always what I say. And when it comes to sleep, it's the same exact thing. It's, we have to be realistic, guys. Like I may not tell you what you want to hear, right? You may not read what you want to hear. And I'm sorry, but the facts are the facts, you know, like this book is an evidence-based book. This wasn't a theory that Kim had. Kim wasn't like, oh, let's do this. Let's just say about gentleness. Let's throw in the word gentle because it's bougie right now. Like, no, like Kim has been doing this since the dawn of time and she is the best at what she does. And I have seen so many people try to copy what she's created. Like she's really, in my mind, like she's the OG of sleep coaching. When it comes to it, like she was the one that taught me everything back when like Facebook wasn't even Facebook, like before there was social. And now with social out there, you're getting bombarded with so many different theories and so many different processes that have no evidence behind them whatsoever. And it gets very frustrating for people like Kim and I that are educators. Well, we're advocates first and foremost, I would say, for both Kim and I. I think that that's, if we had a look at the title, we're both advocates and then we're both moms and then we're both educators. And that's how I think that, and it also, it's very rare to find peers in this industry that have those same priorities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not saying that Kim and I don't eventually want to retire on a yacht together. Yes, we do. We totally do. But we're never going to do it at the expense of a parent. That's just not going to happen. And so I think for people that are out there, as I've taught my kids since birth, the only thing you can control is yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you take in mind what feels good for you, what feels right for your family, and you try to figure out how you're going to get that to apply, which means you may need to find a new OB. I've done a podcast on my Twiniversity podcast that I've had a mom change at 38 weeks mm-hmm. with twins, which is unheard of, mm-hmm. unheard of. 38 weeks, 4 days, she changed doctors, which you should do, you know? So as advocates, our job is to empower the families that cross our paths to make sure that they feel acknowledged and that they have the information they need to make the right decisions for them and their family. That's really our goal. It's hiding as the guise of a sleep book, but really that's what we do. That's what our whole goal is. And Kim Singleton books are exactly that. They are so fantastic about explaining what the process is, but not losing yourself or your wishes in that process.
We're trying to empower parents.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Trojan horse of sleep education. You get in there. It's like, we're going to give you more sleep. And then you're like, surprise, you have to take care of yourself.
Yes. But Kim, don't you think that's kind of what our book is?
Yeah, that's really good. I love that metaphor. Mm-hmm.
I love that, you guys. All right. This has been a fantastic conversation, you guys. I think my favorite thing that we talked about today is that there is no one size fits all. No matter kind of what problem you're facing, what challenges you're experiencing, there is an answer for you. It may take you some time to get there. You may have to dig back to your birth story. You may have to unravel some things that we did in the first few months of life, but there is an answer. There's no shortage of help out there. And the main takeaway I want you to have is Pick what's comfortable to you. Pick what works with your lifestyle. Pick the goals that are sustainable and achievable for your family. Set yourself up for success. Seek out support that matches those things, that matches the things that you have as expectations and goals and preferences for your family. So Kim, Natalie, if people wanted to grab your book, but also connect with you outside of the podcast, where can they grab your book and connect with each of you?
So I'm going to hold up the book. Go, Nat.
Dum, dum, dum. Isn't that the cutest? So in March, it'll be available in most major retailers and online. It's readily accessible. Fingers crossed that it will be in a library near you. That's my big goal. And if for some reason it's not in a library near you, please request it. We kindly ask. But yeah, you could get it anywhere. And if anybody needs us, like here in the Twiniversity world, we're just at Twiniversity on every social platform. We did great with branding because the word didn't exist. So it was pretty easy for us. But yeah, that's where you could find us. And if you have direct questions, you could email me at community@twiniversity.com. And Kim, where do we find you these days?
LeapLady.com. I'll be hanging out over there and on social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kim's got some great classes too. So if you have singletons and you are not necessarily a reader, like if you are a learner of video, like if that's your style, she's really got some fantastic courses and she's got a great email list, as do we. But yeah, she's
and coaches my all over the world and 17 different languages. So
wow,
we can help you.
Kim, mm-hmm. you're telling the truth. Is it really 17 languages? Yeah. Sure, it's not 18 or 16.
Well, I don't know. I could go back. Maybe it's more.
Can you name them is the big question.
Can you name these languages, Kim?
Probably not.
Oh my goodness. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining all of us today and educating yourself on twin sleep and developmentally appropriate expectations for your babies. Kim, Natalie, thank you guys so much for being here. This is awesome. I'm crossing my fingers that one day we can bridge the gap between Kim's blissful, like, we're going to have all this research and all the answers, to Natalie's negative, like, no one is saving us. I hope one day we have the research, we can dissipate it out to our healthcare professionals. They can help families understand what their options are and get them to the proper support, because pediatricians don't have time to help you learn your baby sleep routines, where sleep coaches do. These books do. We have professionals. There's no shortage of help. It really does come down to finding something that matches your family. All right, you guys, I will see you next week for another episode of the Birth Bond podcast. Until then, bye. Actually, sorry to keep you a little bit longer, but I did want to let you know that we have a newborn sleep solutions guide PDF download for you. I will link it below, but it talks you through every single thing that you need to know about getting your baby better sleep in the first 8 to 16 weeks. So any baby that is birth to 16 weeks, this guide is going to teach you about wake windows, sleep pressure, the right sleep environment, what your daytime needs to look like in order to get more nighttime sleep. It's going to help you understand newborn development so that once your baby starts exhibiting or presenting certain things, certain cues, certain behaviors, not only do you know what they are and what they mean, but you know how to pivot your schedule, your feeding routine, your sleep environment, the cues that you're giving your baby so that you guys can work harmoniously in getting your baby sleep. It also talks about different types of feeding, and it talks about different type of sleep setup so that no matter what your lifestyle and your family and your household has chosen to do, this information is applicable to you. All babies 0 to 16 weeks. Now, why 16 weeks? And that is a hard cutoff. It's because your baby's going to go through a 4-month sleep leap. They go through a big developmental burst and it's going to impact their sleep. And so if you have the right foundation in those first 4 months, your the reverberation that you feel from this sleep leap is going to be so much less because your baby was already on a great sleep pattern. You already have it set up to support their biological sleep development. And so now as their body grows and develops, you just pivot slightly and it doesn't rock your house off the Richter scale like you hear so many times on the internet. All right, you guys, I'm going to link that for you in the show notes. It is a great guide. We have helped thousands of parents get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hour chunks at night in the first few months after birth. I'm talking 2 to 4 weeks after birth. Your baby can be giving you 3, 4, 5 hour chunks so that you all feel refreshed. And this is in conjunction with them meeting their weight gain goals. We are prioritizing weight gain so that your baby can get back up to birth weight so that they can sleep longer stretches at night. You can have more wake time during the day, interact with your baby more. Everyone's sleeping better at night. It just fares well for everybody. All right, it's linked in the show notes for you. Happy sleeping, happy snoozing. See you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I truly do value this community and I love hanging out with you. If you found today's episode helpful, share it with a friend. Share it with someone who might also find this information helpful. I'd love to hear what you have to say and read your sweet words on iTunes. You can leave us a review and this helps get this information into the hands of parents who might also benefit from hearing it. If you're interested in joining the Birth Lounge, you can go to thebirthlounge.com. Our blog is linked there. You can find all sorts of free information as well as how to get your access to the Birth Lounge. You can always hang out with me on Instagram as well, at Tranquility by Hehe. Until then, stay educated, stay supported, stay confident.